This is Talk of the Nation. I'm John Idstey in Washington. Tomorrow, the Shiites of Iraq, their religious history and political future. For the rest of this hour, we are paying tribute to the legendary singer, pianist, and activist Nina Simone.
My skin is black, my arms are long, my hair is woolly, my back is strong, strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah.
Nina Simone singing her 1965 release, Four Women. Simone was a classically trained pianist, a nightclub jazz singer, an activist, an expatriate, and an inspiration for decades of female musicians. She died yesterday in her sleep at the age of 70. Chandra Brown was a childhood friend of Simone's daughter, Lisa. She joins us from New York City, and now she's with the studios of member. She's in the studios of member station WFCR. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Hello, Chandra Brown.
Hi,
are you
Chandra
there?
Chandra Grosvenor.
Chandra Grosvenor. Well, they told me, I'm sorry.
That's Grosvenor. All right.
And you're a childhood friend of Nina Simone's daughter.
Yeah, that's right. I was a childhood friend of Lisa Simone. We grew up together. We used to go to visit Auntie Nina and Lisa in Mount Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lisa would come down to New York City, she would spend time with my sister and myself. And
tell us what she was like.
Auntie Nina?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I really didn't just know. I didn't really realize how famous she really was. I always thought she was Lisa's mom, and she was very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have like conversations with my mother on how we should be disciplined, but she was also a lot of fun. When we go visit her in Mount Vernon, I remember one time she taught us we had to play to dance the Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And we all dressed up in some flappers outfits that Auntie Nina had actually got from Paris, and Auntie Nina played the piano. And first she taught us the Charleston, and then we put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
And Auntie Nina played the piano. And
sounds like a thrill.
It really was. And she actually we all sang together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went next door. We were like tired of dancing and everything. We went next door and to visit the neighbor, who turned out to be Betty Shabazz. And we showed them that Betty Shabazz, she was there with her kids, their children. And in fact, there were a lot of community kids in the house. And I asked, you know, which ones are your children? And Betty Shabazz, they're all my children.
Uh-huh.
And we showed them the Charleston. And, you know, and I said, that's one of my best memories.
Well, stay with us on the line here. We want to bring in W.S. Tequame. He's speaking to us from member station WFCR, here to talk about Nina Simone's place in history. Mr. Tequame, Nina Simone will be remembered certainly for her contribution to many fields of music, but she also shaped political consciousness in the 1960s. Tell us about her role in the civil rights movement and her effect on it.
Well, what we'll see with Nina Simone is not only some behind-the-scenes stuff, which isn't a big part of the story, fundraising for a lot of the organizations. This is something that a number of other entertainers and artists did, but Nina had a particular contribution there. But once she dedicated herself to articulating the aspirations and concerns of African-Americans in her songs, which we would date from about 63 or 4, you know, through the rest of the decade, those songs made a big impact on a lot of people. They were certainly controversial. You played Four Women at the beginning. Certainly mm-hmm. that meant a lot to a lot of people, but it was also something which, some people objected to. We could say the same about Mississippi Goddamn and a number of others. Mm-hmm. But
she pulled no punches.
She did a lot of material.
She pulled no punches in her material. She was right out there in her criticism of the civil rights situation in the country.
Yes, she definitely was able to communicate, you know, the quality of anger. Mm-hmm. I mean, anger and indignation, as you say, and that was forthright, particularly in, let's just say, the infamous Mississippi Goddamn, but not just that, some others, a lot of others.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our callers, too. Robert in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing well. You've got a comment or a question?
Yeah, sure. Just probably just a little bit of both. I just mm-hmm. say that I'm about 28 years old, and I was introduced to Nina. I'm originally from Louisiana, and I was introduced to Nina when I was about 3 years old by my parents, who first witnessed her greatness in New Jersey. And I had the pleasure of witnessing it myself several years ago here in D.C., twice, 2001 in Constitution Hall. And I just want to say, just being as a young man, and I'm looking at her repertoire and the scope that she represents, everything from her raw edginess, her grippiness on reality, the truth and the past and what is here and what is yet to become, that she presents this strange, sort of bewitching type of spell that she puts on her audience. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's leaving a wealth of legacy behind. And I think that she never really received the due that she so rightfully deserved here in the United States, which I think mm-hmm. drove her to self-exile herself to France mm-hmm. because of her music and what it did represent.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask more of our listeners to call us if they have a memory of Nina Simone. Give us a call at 800-989-8255. Mr. Tuomi, I want to ask you, talk to us briefly about Nina Simone's audience. She certainly attracted both black and white listeners even early in her career. How did she get her start, and what made her such a crossover artist despite her intensity, I guess?
Well, you know, a career starts as an entertainer, a professional entertainer, in the late 50s in Philadelphia and Atlantic City, in the piano bar nightclub sort of scene, which
right.
already is what you would call, you know, a multiracial or integrated audience, if you will. Certainly blacks don't predominate in these particular scenes here. And, as she starts her career, she really doesn't have a whole lot of respect for pop music, and she kind of begrudgingly begins to learn some of these different tunes here, such as some of the things on her first album, My Baby Just Cares For Me, I Love mm-hmm. You Porgy, et cetera, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I
Love You Porgy was one of her only top 40 hits, I guess.
I think maybe the only one,
yeah.
Because Young, Gifted, and Black later from 69 mm-hmm. also went well. I'm not sure if it got up to top 40, but certainly it was a high in the R&B chart.
Yeah.
I don't know how far it got in the pop chart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But she managed to communicate across racial lines and had even as she became more and more political.
Well, actually, the thing is that as she becomes more political in the 60s is actually when she begins to attract a larger African-American audience.
Really?
You know, you might say at the beginning, as she's becoming a big star, that her audience is probably majority, you know, white. And certainly there are writers in the early 60s who talk about Nina Simone as being some sort of downtown figure as opposed to uptown, where the folks are. So song material, a lot of that folk material, and, Broadway show tunes, a number of other tunes like that, which weren't necessarily what was playing in what we might call the soul or R&B charts at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
So really later when she becomes more politicized, there are a lot of African-Americans who say, well, that's when I really began to get into her.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Ms. Grosvenor, what song do you remember first that Nina Simone sang? I mean, was it one of her hits or was it some other song?
Oh, God.
What song made the greatest impression on you?
To Be Young, Gifted in Black.
Mm-hmm.
That was like an anthem And I love you, Porgy. I mean, just I loved all of her phrasing, you know. And more than that is that I loved her voice, but I loved her, and I loved looking at her because she looked so, my mother looked so much like sisters. And during that time, I watched from the inside, I watched a lot of pain because America was not ready for these non-European-looking women, you know, to be so talented and so beautiful. And, you know, it was very, you know, I remember them going through, dealing with themselves, you know, because people would think that they were, because they were non-European looking, you know, and people commenting that, you know, that they looked ugly or they looked like men or, you know, or trying to defeminize them, you know, and they were artists and they were, their craft was so beautiful. And I just remember that, you know, in the quiet hours, you know, these conversations that my mother and Auntie Nina would be on the other line, how they would talk about how difficult that it was for them to pursue their craft and with dealing with the way that they looked, you know.
Let's go to one of our callers who I think was also moved by the song Young, Gifted, and Black. Her name is Maisha. She's from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Maisha.
Thank you, John. Wonderful show today and wonderful remembrance. My heart was heavy yesterday when I heard that Nina Simone had passed. I distinctly remember Young, Gifted, and Black from the early 70s when I was first becoming aware of who I was and what I had to offer the world. And the power of the lyrics in that song still resonate with me today. The same is true for Four Women, which spoke of the complexity of Black women and just really identified who we were as a group of people in the world and how complex and diverse we were and how much we had to offer. So I will never forget her for a myriad of reasons, but primarily because she looked like me but had a message for the world.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks to Chandra Grosvenor for being with us and also to W.S. Takami. We appreciate your being here. We're going to finish off with a montage of Nina's music.
Thank you very much.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. My baby don't care, who knows it? My baby just cares for me. Me, leave me, let me be lonely. You won't believe me, but I love you only. I'd rather be lonely than happy with somebody else. You might find the night time the right time for kissing. Night time is my time for just reminiscing, regretting instead of forgetting with somebody else. Of my true love's hair, his face so soft and wondrous fair.
The late Nina Simone singing "I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free," "My Baby Just Cares for Me," "Love Me or Leave Me," "Black is the color of my true love's hair," and "Come Ye." I'm John Itzty. This is NPR News.
For the love of your fellow man, I see